the Lord's help will direct you to the chapter we read, John chapter 14 and verse 16. Verse 16 in the 14th chapter, the Gospel according to John. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Just to connect a little this morning, we spoke from those words in Isaiah's prophecy, "Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith your God." And we tried to speak of the intent of the prophecy, that all prophecy centers in the person of Christ. And you remember we concluded with some of the fear nots by way of the comfort. And I commence with that fear not this night and ask this question of you. Have you had a blessed fear not from the Lord in your experience? A fear not from the Lord comes with authority by the Spirit of power. It's spoken with authority and power, and it comes in assurance, and it has an effect. And if you've had a fear not, it is for time and for eternity. It's from God himself. It will never be taken back. I would be thankful if I'm reminding you of a fear not or more. We don't have many. We don't need many. If you've once had the power of a fear not, the Lord has only got to remind you, refresh your memory by his Spirit, and your soul is hushed to calm as peace ensues. Think of how Jesus in the boat in Galilee, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep, carest thou not that we perish? And in effect there was a fear not, wasn't there? He arose, rebuked the winds, peace, be still. And there was a great calm, and that will be when the Lord speaks of fear not. Well, my mind went to this portion of the word, and if the Lord give us grace, we will look into its context. The Lord was going away from his disciples. His hour was coming. He was to be delivered into the hands of wicked and cruel men. And his disciples could hardly believe that this was happening to him, that wicked men would do such a thing. And he spoke of his going away unto the Father. He spoke words of comfort to them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he spoke of his oneness with the Father, which caused the Jews and Pharisees to accuse him of being a blasphemer. But how he spoke the truth in the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. Do you embrace these in your heart, these holy doctrines of truth? Do you embrace them? He was going away, and he would comfort his disciples, instruct them, counsel them, speak truth to them. And so we come to this text my mind is led to, and I will pray the Father. But it's in a connection. If ye love me, keep my commandments. It appeared to my spirit that what Jesus was doing here was setting the pattern for the New Testament church. He gave commandment while he was with his disciples. By commandments, we mean his ordinances and his words and his sayings. These are mentioned at different times. They are his commandments. He spoke of those who love them, the evidence of their love, and the contrary evidence of not loving. And so he spoke to them in this way: if ye love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't appear that he doubted their love. But their love in keeping his commandments, in being baptized in his name, in keeping the communion in remembrance of him, he is setting forth the pattern by which the church would profess, would glorify his name, and set forth to the world that blessed type of being baptized into his death and rising again into newness of life and into the hope of the resurrection at last, as he was raised by the glory of the Father. It seems as if he's set in a pattern. If ye love me, or I know you love me, or as you love me, keep my commandments, honor them, profess me, take up your cross and follow me. It's been an evidence that you do love me. Be an evidence that you love me in sincerity and in truth. And having said that, Jesus then goes on to say, and I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus was a comforter of his people, of his disciples, those that he called to follow him, and those great number of disciples that did follow him. For many left him and went back and no more followed him, but many did. So he speaks to his disciples, and I will pray the Father. You think of your poor prayers, do you? Often. Often. But you think of his prayer, his authoritative prayers with the Father. I thought of a children's hymn. It goes something like this: if I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till earth, not till heaven pass away. Think of God's faithfulness with regard to the prayer of his dear Son. If a poor sinner who God invites to ask, to knock, seek and ask, if he will not refuse a sinner's cry, a child's cry, if I ask him to receive me, will he turn me away or say me nay? No. God in his faithfulness will not turn any humble sinner away that truly asks for mercy in repenting and love. Well, what a comparison then between a simple love like that and the love and prayers of Christ. Jesus said, I will pray the Father for you. You will keep my commandments. And what of his prayers? What of God's faithfulness to the prayers of his well-beloved Son? Appointed him our great high priest, our advocate above. What Christ asks can never be denied of his Father in heaven. What an encouragement for us to pray with faith in Jesus' name. Let him ask in faith, said James, nothing wavering. What a favour to us in the precious name of Jesus, who prays for us. You know, that prayer that we often pray without knowing the fullness of it, God be merciful to me a sinner, when that's forced out of a sinner's heart by the Holy Spirit, what are we doing but asking for Jesus to pray for us, to plead for us, for God to be merciful to sinners like us? And surely that prayer will never be turned away. Surely God in his faithfulness will never turn away from the prayer of his well-beloved Son. We have, said John, if any man sin, an advocate with the Father. Now, I've never been in a court of law to need an advocate, but some do. They need one to plead for them, one who is skillful in his advocacy. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, not an unrighteous man. We have a righteous Saviour and Lord to plead for us. We have an advocate. Now, Jesus was going away. He was going to the Father. He said, I will pray the Father. Yes, with my authority, he could say, I will pray the Father that he may send you another comforter. I have comforted you. I've comforted you with the knowledge of my Father, my Father's will, my Father's words. I have comforted you in all your tribulation. I've been with you. I've quenched the storms. What hadn't the Lord done to his disciples and for them? Now he said, I go away. If I go away, I'll come again. But he said, I'll pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. Or another comforter like unto me. And that is in the person of the Holy Spirit. Like unto our Saviour, the same glorious Godhead, God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son, the Comforter, like unto Jesus, power, authority in his words, in his influence, like unto me. Oh, you say our Saviour's gone. He's gone to heaven. We have a Saviour who hath promised, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And he's prayed the Father that he will send another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I must go to my Father. I must go away. It's needful that I go away. If I don't go away, I shan't come again. But as I come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be with me. The sweet hope of the gospel for sinners, for those whom the Lord calls his people, puts upon them his saving grace. I will come again, where I am, there ye may be also. But in the meantime, another comforter that will abide with you forever. Do you know the comforter? Do you know him by his powerful work of regeneration by the word and by his power? You've never been the same since. He dealt with you. He spoke to you. He humbled you. He convinced you as well as convicted you. He led you to Jesus. He enabled you to pray. Pray? What poor prayer? No. The Holy Spirit's energies. That's what caused us to pray. Pray when we felt we couldn't pray, when it was but a few groanings. The Holy Spirit's energy. He made intercession for us with utterances that could not be uttered. Not in heaven they couldn't be uttered, unworthy of heaven. But he made intercessions with groanings which could not be uttered in heaven, but can be uttered from a sinner's heart, the Holy Spirit's energies, and advocate with God. In that sense, he, this other comforter. There's an advocate too. An advocate in prayer. He pleads within us. He pleads for us. We know the Holy Spirit's enabling, don't we? Don't we? We're lost without them. Without the enablings, without the grace. We are poor and lost. Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Forever? Jesus is speaking forever. The world that now is, and the world to come. The kingdom of God on earth, the kingdom of God in heaven, that he may abide with you forever. What a favor to know the abiding presence of God, the Holy Ghost. Let us look how Jesus speaks further. Even the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth. What is truth? Said Pilate. What is truth? I remember when I first retired, I went to Lewis Crown Court. Never been to court before. I held up a Bible, promised to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And said the prosecutor, what you have told us has been a whole pack of lies. These are the things that are transacted every day in our courts. What is truth? Said Jesus, this comforter, his title is the Spirit of Truth from God, a God of truth and without iniquity. And this is the Spirit that I will pray will come from the Father. And in that blessed recording in the scripture, he proceeds from the Father. Not born as Jesus was born, but proceeding from the Godhead, from the Father, in Jesus' name and at Jesus' command. Yes, an advocate, a Holy Spirit, of whom the scriptures tell us that he shall not speak of himself, and does he? Does he ever speak of himself? Does he ever speak like Jesus spoke? I and my Father are one. Did he ever speak of himself in any way? No. His glorious office is to speak of Christ, is to glorify Christ, is to take of the things of Christ and to glorify me, said Jesus. Doesn't he? Oh, believer, doesn't he? Can't you bless God for the Holy Comforter? What comfort for a sinner taught of God the Holy Ghost. What comfort in the teaching, in the humbling, in the exalting, in the direction to Jesus, to his cross, to see a beauty, in his grief and in his suffering and in his love, his power and in his grace and in his resurrection. What a beauty there is when the Holy Spirit teaches us. Yes, he does not speak of himself, but there's something very blessed about his speaking and teaching, isn't there, when he reveals Christ? Isn't there an authority? Isn't there an unction? Explain it. No, better feel it. Better feel that the Lord has been towards you, near you, convincing you, confirming you, illuminating your mind in the Holy Scriptures. Oh, even the Spirit of truth. Does he speak anything but truth? No. He is in union with the Father and the dear Son, the God of truth and without iniquity. He will never deceive us. He will never flatter us. He will never lead us astray. He will never tempt us with things which are unachievable. He will never bring before us the glory of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, of the truth as it is in Jesus, to illuminate, to set at liberty the work which he is sent from the Father to do. Said Jesus, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. You know, when men seek to evangelize, and it's good, when they seek to bring the knowledge of Jesus Christ to other sinners, it's good. But we can't make the world receive the Spirit of truth because it doesn't see him. He is seen by sinners that believe, are called to believe. They see inwardly and spiritually. They know. Seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. Ye know him. Do we know him? Oh, do we know the sweet power, the sweet influences? Oh, but our influence is to influence our mind and heart to the obedience of faith, the obedience to the Word. That's the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What is Jesus saying but that he will come to you in the person of the Spirit? He will not leave us without comfort. He will be with us in the person of his Spirit. And the Spirit will ever be directing us to our glorified Saviour, to our blessed Saviour, Redeemer and Friend. And again, what is Jesus saying here concerning the pattern for the church? In verse 21 we read this: He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. In a sense, we all have the Lord's commandments, don't we? They're before us in the Word of God. We can have them and not have them. We only have them if we have them in our heart. If we have them there inscribed by the finger of God, by the blessed Spirit of God. And then we can say truly that we have the Lord's commandments. We are powerfully under the influence of the Spirit making his commandments ours. They're no longer ours to set aside. They're no longer ours to question. If we have the Lord's commandment, now, do I need to stop and say, here is very plain speaking from the Lord of life and glory? Men say, oh, it doesn't mean that. And men set these things aside. But it's time for plain speaking, isn't it? Jesus says, he that hath my commandments, that is in your heart, you know what he commands. He commands in many ways, but he commands that those that follow him take up their cross, for it is a cross, and follow him. He that taketh not up his cross, said Jesus, is not worthy of me. That's plain enough, isn't it? But here's an evidence of those that confess to love him. You have his commandments, and you keep them. From the time of our quickening, we were under the commandments, not of the law of God, but under the grace of our Saviour. If ye love me, He didn't doubt the disciples' love, but he may question some of our love. We read of it in this further verse. If I can put my finger upon it. He that loveth me not, that's in verse 24, keepeth not my sayings. Surely, if there's not a keeping of his sayings, isn't Jesus saying plainly that they don't love me? They don't keep my commandments. They don't keep my word. There's nothing in their heart to motivate them to keep my commandment. They are still a law unto themselves. There's no evidence to me or to the world in profession of my name that they love me, because they just do not keep my sayings or keep my words or keep my commandments. Now, how many words did Jesus speak about living in God's sight in an upright way and manner in the fear of God, prompted by the love of God? Never does the word of God envisage believers living unto themselves, doing as they please, conforming their hearts to what they think, pitting their judgment against the Lord's words. Happy souls that are found walking in the fear of the Lord and in the way of his commandments. In keeping his commandments, there is great reward. He that loveth me not. This is the pattern then, isn't it, for the church of God on earth. To keep his word. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm going to lead you to what we find in Mark chapter 16. In verse 16 we read, when Jesus was risen from the dead and appeared to his disciples, he gave them that great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That risen great commission of God in the gospel. That's in the gospel of Mark. In another gospel we read, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Isn't it plain? The pattern of the church in the gospel ministry, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe, daily observe, heartily observe, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Can we read the scriptures rightly, happily, if we're disobedient to our Saviour? If there's not that obedience of faith, well, remember in my heart it wasn't a question of whether I wanted to follow the Lord. I was being exercised to follow the Lord. It wasn't a question of whether I wanted to be associated with that church. I was exercised to follow the Lord. It wasn't a question of whether I wanted to be with this one or that one, or I didn't get on with this one or that one. I was exercised to follow the Lord in the way of his commandment. He will lead us. He will have us where he would have us. He will guide us. He will lead us in the way where he will have us useful. It's you in your small corner and me in mine. What is the point? That we honour the Lord. That humble submission to his words and commands and saying, that humble dependence upon the Lord in going forward. Because when the Lord exercises your heart in the way of his commandments, you'll have no rest, you'll have no real peace until you walk in the ways of those commandments. And how blessed it is when in early life there are those that take up their cross and follow the Lord. Look how those disciples did. Jesus sees them by fishing and says, "Follow me." And they left all and followed him. Some queried about their family when they should die, who would bury them. Let the dead bury their dead. Those that are dead in worldliness, let them bury the dead. Follow me. Come back to our text just for a little while. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. Oh, but what a mercy to have such a Comforter. We sometimes are confused, aren't we? We don't know what to believe when you hear things that seem so enormous in their blasphemy, so presumptuous and bold in their testimony. What a comfort to have a Comforter that is divine, and a Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, that will put us right, guide us right, comfort us in what is right, show us that which is wrong, the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude, the wrong path, the wrong goal. What a blessing to have what Jesus speaks of here, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. Little wonder we sing, Spirit of Truth, come down, reveal the things of God, oh, make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. Because that is what he does. When he leads us to Jesus, when his cross is before us, and the Saviour before us, when we see to believe and repent and believe on Jesus Christ, when we are reconciled by the justifying act of God, it's the blessed Spirit that bears witness with our spirit. It's the blessed Spirit that sheds the love of God abroad in the heart. And who can speak of a greater blessing than the love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost? David spoke of his cup flowing over. You will too, if the Lord shed abroad his love. There's nothing like it. It's the earnest, it's the promise, it's the witness, it's the sealing. It is for heaven, it's for glory. These are deep things, profound things. I've only just touched upon them. And you say, well, sometimes I'm in trouble and can't see these things like this. Well, I remember a time when I was in trouble. And I went on my way and I started singing this hymn, Sweet Spirit. Oh, but he was a sweet spirit to me. The endearment affected my soul. The hymn we sing, Sweet Spirit, guide me over this life's tempestuous sea. Keep me, O holy lover, for I confide in thee. I sang that for about a week. Was so sweet to me. It's a prayer. I leave it with you. Sweet Spirit, guide me over this life's tempestuous sea. Keep me, O holy lover, for I confide in thee. O, that in Jordan's swelling I may be helped to sing and pass the river telling the triumph of my King. Well, I leave it The Lord bless our remarks today. The Lord bless our worship today. The Lord indeed bless you. Amen.